Victoria Monroe has just been named the new executive director of the Alice Austin House Museum in New York, and she's here to talk about that and give us her spin on our LGBTQ issues. Hi, Victoria.
Hi, Charlotte.
Tell us about the Alice Austin House Museum.
It's an incredibly wonderful and unique place that represents the work of a pioneer, woman photographer who was born in 1866, Alice Austin. The museum itself is the only museum in America that represents the work of one woman photographer, and it's located on the waterfront of Staten Island in New York. The museum itself is also a historic house. It was built in 1690 and brought by Alice Austin's grandfather in 1844. Alice lived there nearly her entire life, and 30 years of that time living in the house with her devoted partner, Gertrude Tate. So we are actually in a really exciting time at the Alice Austin House. We have just recently, in June, announced an amendment to our historic designation to include LGBTQ history as an area of significance. And at the time of that announcement, there's actually only 14 sites nationally, and in New York, just two, the first being Stonewall. Now, very happily, the LGBT Historic Sites Project has just named a third site in New York, Cafe Chino. So we are incredibly proud of this new designation, and it provides us with even more of a platform to move forward and work more with LGBTQ initiatives and also with the true and correct storytelling of Alice Austin's life.
How did you become involved?
Interestingly, I had a colleague that worked with a funding organization, the Lily Oschenkloss Foundation, and they were invited by the former director, Janice Monger, to come out and see the Alice Austin House, and I accompanied my colleague, and that was my first formal introduction to the Alice Austin House. I was incredibly blown away, really, by the story, the possibilities that I could see with the house and new interpretation. And Janice Monger was an incredible representative for Alice's story. Just to say a tiny bit more, you know, about Alice, she was an incredible trailblazer, not just with her photography, but she was also the first woman on Staten Island to own a car, and she could fix it. She took photographs of her friends and herself cross-dressing and challenged gender roles. She was a tennis player. She helped educate women how to ride bicycles. And then later on, her and Gertrude Tate even taught women how to drive ambulances. So she was just really so incredible, and I was so taken by all of this that I knew at that point that I wanted to be more involved. And then around about a year later, the Alice Austin House was a recipient of a wonderful New York Community Trust grant to create a women's history program to take into elementary and middle schools. I'm a trained educator. I have my master's in arts education. And so when I saw this opportunity arise, I automatically applied for the job and was very thankful that I became a part of the education team at the Alice Austin House, and I had the opportunity to write that programming, and I have been delivering women's history programming through Alice's eyes for the past few years. Also then was able to expand my role to become an LGBTQ advisor for the house, and have been participating in training programs and working on new education delivery to serve some underserved audiences here in New York and Staten Island with teens and seniors. So I've just begun working with SAGE, which is an amazing organization for advocacy for older LGBTQ communities. And those experiences have just been incredible for me. At the moment, it's totally in its formation. And I'm trying to really work collaboratively with CSAs and these groups so that they can show me what they really want from programming at the Alice Austin House.
What would you like to accomplish with your work?
There's so many facets to the work that we do at the Alice Austin House, but particularly now that I will be stepping into this role, I can see that I will be in a position to really move forward with not only the educational programming that I just mentioned, but we have two contemporary galleries at the Alice Austin House, which we show photography of other photographers, and both nationally and internationally. And I would like to incorporate a stronger representation of LGBTQ artists within that, and look towards also incorporating the education and community outreach that we do with photographic programming, and actually be able to provide a platform for those participants to be able to actually show the work that they do with us, and actually have formal exhibitions that highlight the incredible work that is actually being done.
What is your personal commitment to LGBTQ civil rights?
I live my life here in New York with my partner, Carrie, and our two children. And throughout my life is integrated into everything that I do and want for myself and others to be able to feel that we could live in an environment where we have equality and without fear. And my personal commitment moving forward in this role is actually to provide a space where our histories not presented as a changing exhibit, but something that's permanent and a part of everyone's history. I also want to promote our museum as a space for meetings, for groups, for potential PFLAG meetings, a space where we can build on our website and other resources to share information, because I believe that's one of the most important things, is how do we communicate, how do we share our knowledge, how do we share information that creates support networks, and how can, moving forward, how can the Alice Austin House be more of a partner to our other local centres? I already work with the Staten Island Pride Centre, which is an incredible organization, and I would like to partner with a lot of other organizations to come together and really provide a community base and an event space for groups and individuals to be able to access.
You're from New Zealand. What LGBT rights and protections do you have in your country?
Well, I do consider America home after being here for two decades. However, I am an incredibly proud New Zealander too, because New Zealand's one of the most progressive countries in the world on so many levels in terms of gender equality, racial equality. Actually, they're the first nation within the Oceania region to pass marriage equality. In New Zealand, in 1993, we have open service in the military for LGBTQ community. And there was also a law passed against discrimination regarding sexual orientation and gender identity. Like I say, I'm very proud to be from a nation that is so progressive. At the same time, I think like everywhere else, there's a constant struggle still to be had to ensure the protection of that and continued work to outreach and educate the public.
With LGBTQ teens already four times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers after facing bullying incidents, what advice would you have for these kids?
I have taught full-time in high schools, and this bullying is so tough for teens because often they don't have the resources presented to them. One thing I think that we are very fortunate with now is that there's so much more information available to teens in terms of them having internet access and whatnot to find help. But the biggest piece of advice, if I could give it directly to teens, is that there are resources there within your schools, your counselors. There's so many more schools now have CSAs. The Department of Education, and I can speak to this just in New York, has made such great strides recently to make resources available to teens. Institutions like the Hendrick Martin Institute are just doing incredible work. Once again, it takes so much bravery for a teen to navigate high school and the situations of bullying and everything else, and just to be able to reach out is one of the hardest things to do, but it is the best thing to do, and there are resources there for teens that are absolutely phenomenal. And one of the biggest things that they can also provide is connecting teens with other teens so that there can be a support network of similar age where stories can be shared and related in a safe environment.
How can people get information about the Alice Austin House Museum?
The best place to get information about the Alice Austin Museum is our website, which is to be found at aliceaustin.org. Contact details are there. There's also a catalogue of Alice's photographs and information about her life and work. And this is a space which is constantly changing for us. We list our events and recent achievements, and it's part of my mission to build on this website to be able to provide some of those resources that I talked about in terms of connecting other organizations to us, and also to provide increased scholarship on Alice Austin. We've been fortunate enough to have Rhodes Scholars work on this new interpretation of Alice's life, and to work with recent more studies on Alice's time spent with her partner of 50 years, Gertrude Tate.
What current projects are you working on?
Talking about this new interpretation that we are implementing within our museum, we have incredible generous support from the National Endowment for the Humanities, where we did, as I said, engage scholars from relevant fields to help contextualize Alice Austin in New York City history, in women's history, immigration history, LGBTQ history, and photographic history. So within that funding, we received specific funding to rework the entire permanent installation in the museum. So it will be revisioned to incorporate high-resolution photographs and update text interpretation, and we'll be able to prominently display Alice's work within the rooms of the house, and that will bring her story of her life and the incredible loving relationship that she had with Gertrude Tate to the fore.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
I think always, and I think every person that works within these fields is going to say, we would love you to ask, how can I become involved? How can I support this project? We, of course, are a non-profit, and we are constantly working towards funding everything that we do, and that's not just for this, say, permanent exhibition. It's for all of our education outreach. We work with lots of underserved communities, and so what we try to do is provide free programming, and that always needs funding. The museum itself to run, we rely so much on membership. One of the best ways that people can help is to go to the website, become a member, become involved on that level. You could become a donor. Please come and visit us. Make the trip. It's beautiful. Those are the questions I'd love to hear, is how do I get involved? We certainly rely so heavily on volunteers and people from all over America that are our wonderful supporters.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
I don't have a specific quote, but there's definitely a mantra that I live by, and that is that I'm a lifelong learner. So I just, every day that I do this work, I know that I'm going to learn something new. I'm going to read something, but mostly I learn something from the communities and the people that I work with. And that is the most exciting thing about my job, is that I get to go out and learn and help. And everything that I learn that I can apply to this work and to the advocacy that I can help promote and provide a role of leadership. And it's just incredible. So for me, it is that, and that's what keeps me so driven and excited by what we do here and throughout my life, is to just continue learning.